What a blessing, amen. Go ahead and turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Actually, looked a little bit at Ecclesiastes this morning in Sunday school and saw that the main theme of the book of Ecclesiastes would be that the focus there being everything under the sun, meaning an earthly perspective. There is another kind of theme to it that was mentioned this morning as well, that everything that Solomon looked into is vanity. Amen. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. But don't be discouraged over that. Amen. Looking at the things on earth might be a little discouraging, but when we look up, we see what God has in mind and in store, then we see purpose to it. We see meaning to it, and we see salvation to where God has good things in mind. Amen. From a bad situation, just like Joseph, he was able to say after all that he went through, that while all that took place and his brethren meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Amen? And that is a blessing. We'll look at a message, and I wanted to bring a message tonight on somewhere or on a topic of time, since we lost an hour, amen? And it is daylight savings time, and I'm glad for this time of year, but I know everybody has mixed emotions and opinions on that, but I just wanted to bring a message in reference to time, and boy, time is important, amen? It's something that we all live by. We've learned to live by it, but it's something that doesn't stop, and it just keeps moving. But yet, even with time, there are some important aspects to it that we want to look at tonight. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Well, what a tremendous statement that is, right? To everything. It doesn't say some things. It says everything. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. That season. So we go through those seasons, which is typically a time frame. Like even now, we're still really in winter, and we're approaching quickly spring, the season of spring. And we're not there yet. It's later on this month. We're thankful that outside it's not like winter. It's more like spring. But we still go through seasons, and it's not just in the weather patterns that we go through seasons. We go through seasons in our lives as well, and so very important that we recognize this and understand this. We can't live in the continual state of summer, amen, and in our lives. We have to go through some different seasons and times in our lives. But this passage says to everything, there is a season and a time, and then it says this, to every purpose under the heaven. Again, we see that under the heaven reference, meaning this is talking about things on earth. That to everything, if there's a season and a time, to every purpose, that means then to in everything there is a purpose. Amen? And that is important to note. Everything has a reason. Everything has a purpose. There's something going on that has great... I guess it'd be beneficial for us to understand it clearly in reference to what's going on around us, and just so we can grab hold of the purpose. Now, this word purpose is really interesting. It actually means to please. It means desire. It means something that is valuable, pleasurable, that is of a delight. And when you really study this word purpose out and do an etymology on it, all different things on this word, cross-reference and everything, you're going to find that this is God's purpose. And when God's purpose is brought to pass, it is always a good thing. Amen. All good gifts come from above. Amen. That's what James says. And with whom is no variable, seeing the shadow of turning. And so we know that God has good things in mind for earth. He had good things in mind. And then, of course, sin entered in. And now we find that God has good things in mind to bring back people to that place of justification, meaning we can be brought back to a place just as if we've never sinned, right? Being born again, having our sins forgiven, being cleansed through Christ. And so God's purpose for all men would be that they would come to repentance, right? And then receive Christ. So God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? And so that's God's will. And so with his will is his purpose. And so this is a good thing. This is a delightful thing for him. So with the purpose of God comes a delight, a beneficial thing, a pleasurable thing to God. And so remember, God is not the author of temptation. He's not the one who is the author of confusion. And yet we find that even through those things, God can
God can bring good things about. That's why we're supposed to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. But then in verse number 12 of that same text in James 1, it says that God tempteth no man. Amen. And so, but he does use those temptations because all things do work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose, says in Romans chapter number 8. And so again, just trying to grab hold of this. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, earthly perspective. Look over, if you would please, to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. We're going to dive into this a little bit and kind of deal with the thought here of the purpose of God. Can I say, in reference to life, if we really want to be fulfilled and not frustrated in life, it would behoove us to seek out the purpose of God in our lives for everything. Amen. We might have our own individual purposes, but our purposes are not always correct. They need to align with God's purpose. Because when our purpose, especially as believers, especially as Christians, when our purpose does not align with God's purpose, then what happens is we actually end up fighting God. Right? If my purpose is not what God's purpose is, man, who ultimately do you think will win that battle? It's going to be God, but it's going to be at our expense. It's going to be some hard times for us for quite a while until we begin. And again, talking about a Christian perspective, who's, remember, as saints, we've recognized our sinful condition and we've come to God for salvation. When we did, we were bought with a price, right? He is now our God, our master, our Lord, our King, and we thank God for that. Great benefit in that, but also a reality now we serve God. We're his, amen? And God has purpose for us, and that's a blessing. So when our purpose is not aligned with his purpose, then we end up doing some things and acting in a way that ultimately does not work out well for us. And we see an example of this in 1 Samuel 15. And of course, this is King Saul is referenced in this text, and Samuel. And there's some things that Saul did here, which was against the word of God, but he was able to do it because it fit with his purpose. It fit with how he saw it. But I want to just look at this text because it kind of shows us what God thought of his actions here. It says in 1 Samuel 15, verse number 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And so what it's basically saying is Samuel, the prophet, said to Saul, you don't really deserve this position, but God chose you for this, and so I've anointed you as such, and God has put you in this really, really, really awesome position. You're there not because of you, but because of God. He says, so therefore then, you just obey the voice of the Lord. If God puts you here, he has purpose for you, he has reason for you being here, just listen to God and follow what he says because he knows better. He knows what he needs you in this position for and for Israel. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it says in verse 2, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. So basically, they made an assessment, and they were sent in to do the will of God, and they were meeting that out. But while they were doing that, they began to say, you know what? I see all that God said here, but I just don't see the reason for this, and I don't see the reason for this. I mean, these are good sheep. These are good fatlings. I mean, these will benefit us. These can be used by us. And so they said, I'm sure God didn't intend for that to happen. And so we'll save the king. We'll save these different things, and we'll keep that. So that then maybe we can serve God with these things. I mean, we'll give good reason to it, right? Well, we're going to do this so we can be better servants of God. I'm sure that's what they were thinking, right? Verse number 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me. Isn't that interesting? He did a lot of what God said to do. I mean, if you were to really put it in a percentile, he probably did north of 98% of what God said do, right? I mean, it was only Agag that was the person saved. Everybody else was utterly destroyed. And it was only the best of the some of the sheep and the oxen and things like that. Everything else they destroyed, it might even have been 99%. 99% followed God. 99% followed what God said. And yet we find God said unto Samuel, it repenteth me that I have made him king. He says, he's turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? He says, if you've done all the commandment of the Lord, what is that? Amen. What do I hear back there? Those aren't yours. Where'd you get them at? And Saul said, he pointed to the people and he blame shifted here. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Thank you. I always get tripped up there. Amen. Why is that? I don't know. Verse 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great sacrifice and burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, thou hast also rejected, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So we find in this text is the fact that when we look at this text, we find that it seems as if Saul really did, for the most part, follow what God said, with a little minor, some tweaks here and some adjustments. And we find that that God's commentary on this, God's response to this is that in verse number 22, it says, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, that that great delight, that thought behind that is, was it the Lord's purpose that we save Agag and the best of the livestock? Was that the Lord's purpose? Is that what God had in mind? And the response to that is, no, that is not what God had in mind. When you listen to what God said, God's purpose here was to utterly consume them, everything they had, to totally just get rid of that. We could talk about why that was, all that. We know it was because of how they treated Israel in the land and all that. That's not the point. The point is that in this context, the delight of God here was that his will be performed. And his will would have been that the Amalekites would be removed from the earth as well as everything that they had. And what happened was is that Saul took his delight and really superimposed it upon God's delight and said, I'm okay fulfilling your will here as long as I get a little part in this too. And for doing that, then we find that this was stated. It says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Now, the obedience to the voice of the Lord is important because it's that is what shows us where our faith is, where we trust, right? And so we know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but that faith that we gain in hearing the word of God is actually played out in how we then act upon the word of God. As we talked about this morning in the morning's message, you know, show me, you could say that you have faith, but James says that I will actually show you my faith by my works. My actions will show that I actually believe the word of God. Well, Saul's actions here showed that he was not willing to obey all that the Lord had said. And so Saul determined what he believed to be the purpose in God's command, and he willingly chose not to follow God's man specifically, but to do the parts that he thought to be important. And can I say this is a huge issue in today's modern day Christianity. A lot of people, don't you love how people hold up this Bible and say, I believe everything in this thing. I believe the covers. I believe the pages. I believe every word there is in here. Until it comes to something hard in their lives. And now they only believe the parts they want to believe. And they're going to superimpose what they want to put in there. And they're not going to follow all of it. Oh, they'll follow 99% of it. They don't want to follow all of it. And I'm speaking to myself in this. We all come to this point. And we have to get to that place that we're willing to follow even the parts of God's word that maybe we really don't want to follow, that are hard, that are uncomfortable for us to follow. And this is where we really find out where our faith is with the Lord. Now, how did this work out for Saul? Well, not good. Samuel would actually pick up the sword. He'd go and he'd kill Agag and all that. And this would be the beginning of the end for Saul and the reign there. And a whole bunch of stuff happened after this and that did not work out well for him because he's at this point, at his willing 1% disobedience and the rejection of God concerning these things and the position that he had, this became the beginning of the downfall for Saul. And this is how it works in our lives. That we talked about this in James, where we find that the rich, that he will be made low, and that there will be a beginning of that fading to take place. When we stop listening to God and we start imposing our own will upon God's word and will, that is the downfall to you and I in reference to the positions we can hold and the way that we can represent God here on this earth. Now, there is a season and a time to every purpose, and we must understand God's timing on everything. Is it possible in Saul's life that there would have been a time where what he did would have been absolutely acceptable? Could there have been another nation that he would conquer and that the king would be saved and the best of this and that would be saved? Well, yeah, there was. But it's timing. It's all about timing. When we understand God's purpose in things, we have to understand that there is a timing to every purpose, you see. And so while this may work in this context, it may not work in this context. We have to be tuned into God, his seasons, his purposes, his timings, so that we can get these things right. Look over at Haggai chapter number 1, minor prophet there, Haggai. This is a passage which is God's prophet Haggai speaking to the restored Israel who came in, he came out of Babylon after they were in captivity for 70 years. And we know that they began to rebuild the temple there in Israel for the Lord because it had been destroyed before they were taken into captivity. And then they stopped building. And the reason they stopped building was because of pressure. Pressure from their neighbors, political pressure, pressure from the king to stop. And that would go on some 20 years. And so Haggai came on the scene. And we find in Haggai 1:1, it says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." So the people are saying it's not time to build right now. It's not time to build the Lord's house. It's just not the right time. Why? Well, because there's pressure. And because of Sambalot and Tobiah and the others that are making it hard, and because of Artaxerxes and his red-tagging our building project. It's not time, you see. And so Haggai came on and says, "This people say it's not time." But verse 3, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?" A sealed house doesn't mean that you can't get out, amen. It just means there's a roof on it. Amen. "Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house, the temple, lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little." What it's going to show is there's consequences when we don't get the timing right. There's consequences in our life. And for the Israelites, the consequence was is that God's going to say he cut a hole in their sack. And so they're working themselves to the bone and they have all kinds of work. But at the end of the day, the ends just don't meet. Amen. And they're finding themselves short every month because they got the timing wrong in reference to God's purpose for their life. Nothing wrong with them working. Nothing wrong with them bringing in. The problem was that they got the timing wrong in reference to the building of the temple. This was the whole reason, by the way. The whole purpose that they were sent back to Jerusalem was to build the temple. You know, the original purpose for that group going back was to get that temple built. And they said, nope, it's not time for that. And then God said in verse number 5, he said, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. You've sown much, you bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Then he says this, "Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it." This "I will take pleasure in it" means it's the same thought of the purpose of God. That is what my purpose is what God says. If you will do that, you will bring pleasure to me because my purpose is being fulfilled. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now, Israel thought it was time to pull back from the work and to build their own houses. But Haggai, in delivering God's message to them, said, no, the time is that God's house be built, even though it was technically illegal for them to build in that time. The king said, don't build. The neighbors went to the whole project red tagged. But yet God said, I said build. And what's my word for you? Go get yourself some wood. Get yourself your saw, your hammer. Get some nails. Let's get back at it. It's time to build the house. Now everything, by the way, in reference to that, again, timing is everything. Right? It wasn't always time to build the temple, but at that time it was time. You see, timing is everything in life, especially for the believer. Everything has an appointed occasion, a specific time, and a desired outcome in reference to God and his purpose for our lives. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Can I say, we don't choose these purposes. God does. Amen? When I got saved, I yielded my life to him, right? In Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's interesting. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what's that mean? It means that our minds, even as we're saved, our minds need to be renewed so that we stop trying to insert our purposes, our desires, our likes, our wants on to the top of what God's purpose is. Because we don't want to fall after that pattern of what Saul did. 99%, I'm doing exactly what you said, God. Well, maybe not exactly, but at least 99%, which is better than a lot of other people, right? Not in God's book, you see. And so what we want to do is have that clear conscience before God and man, knowing that we are where God wants us today, that we are doing what God wants us to do today, that we have nothing between us and the Savior, and that we're just seeking to do his will. And that's what we see in Romans 12. And how does that accomplish? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen? And that's what we do. We yield to God as servants of him to perform his purpose and his good pleasure on earth till he come. Amen? Or till he takes us home. Look back at Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Remember, it said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This list is amazing. I know you're probably very familiar with it. I want to read through this list of times that it gives here so that we can go on and look at the verses that follow. It says in verse number 2, it says, a time to be born, a time to die. By the way, both of those, you didn't pick the time you were born. As far as we know, we don't believe we had any say-so in that. Amen? Oh, someone say, well, that was an accident. Not in God's timing. No, that's not an accident. Amen. Amen. And so the time you were born, no matter what your folks said, your parents said, if they said you're an accident, I'm sorry, that would be a bad thing to deal with. Amen. But it wasn't an accident in God's timing. God says that was right on time. Does that make sense? And we recognize these purposes are God's purposes. A time to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, it says in Hebrews. And after this, the judgment. So we have a time, to be born. If we're here, there was a time we were born. Amen? And if we're here, we also know that there's a time also to die. A time to plant. You can go out in this season coming up. If you don't get the planting time frame right, your garden's not going to do real well. You don't pick that time. God has already put into his creation the time. Now, many smart people have figured out, I was talking to Luke Doherty about this, the time to plant. Every seed has a temperature need of the soil and a moisture content need, and more than that. There's more than that. There's nutrients and everything else. But when everything is right in the soil, then it grows. Amen? Say, well, aren't you glad evolution got that right? No, devolution didn't get that right. God got that right. Amen. It was God that set all that up. And he said here, according to his purpose, there is a time to plant. Amen. And a time to pluck up that which is planted. What's that? That's a harvest. And if you don't harvest it in the right time, then it'll rot. It'll go bad on the vine, right? A time to kill. You say, whoa. Yep, there are. There's time that war and all that happens, right? There is a time for that. And there's a time that it's not for that, amen? There's also a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose. And we don't like that second part, do we? But a time to lose means sometimes we need to lose some things. We don't like loss, amen? Unless you're losing something that, you know, you don't like, amen. Losing weight, amen, can be a thing that's welcomed for a loss, amen. But some people may not like what it takes to lose that weight, amen. And so there's the bad side of that loss, amen. But there's a time for these things, amen. Time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, which is to rip. A time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And if you know these things, if you get the timing wrong on these things, then that doesn't work well. We need to understand the timings of God, the seasons and times for the purposes of God in our lives. What happens if a young person is so desirous to get married, they rush ahead and marry someone that just really wasn't God's will? Now, after you get married, it's God's will you stay married. Amen? But at the same time, sometimes we're more interested in seeing our lust fulfilled than God's purpose fulfilled in our lives. You see what I'm saying? And we really can mess things up if we get timing out of order. Amen? As young people grow up and they become adults, and you know, we don't want young people to live in their parents' basement all their life, amen? I have 8 kids. I'm excited for them as they become responsible and get a job, and some have been married and some are planning to be married, and on and on and on, and all that. I'm glad. Micah just bought his first house, amen, in December. That's great. In Greenwood, hallelujah. Love it, amen. But the time for him to have bought that house wouldn't have been when he was 12. Amen? The timing was later that worked out. We don't want to get these things out of order. Amen? And we can go on and on and on about that whole thing. Amen? I mean, for you mothers and all that, and sometimes fathers at times, changing a diaper on a 6-month-old's great. Man, if they're 12... normally, that's not good unless there's some health issues going on. You know what I'm saying? The timing is everything. Everything, amen? So that's what this passage is saying, that there is a timing to every purpose, a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, follow this as it continues down. Look at verse number 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? He says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. There's a lot of travail to the work that is required of mankind. Verse 11 says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. And that's why it's important to tap into the timings of God, the time frames of God, because when things are done according to God's purpose and according to God's timing, then they always end up beautiful. But if we get out of time, and if we get out of purpose with God, then they don't end up good. Consider what we've already looked at in Scripture. It just doesn't work out. It says, also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now this is interesting. It's something very difficult. If you come to know the timings and purposes of God, it doesn't just happen. There's not this general knowledge out there that we all just come to know God's purpose and timing. It is study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're going to have to become very interested in God and God's ways and God's timings if you're going to understand them. Verse number 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. So again, going back to that labor side and all that, God has a purpose in it. The rest of the laboring man is sweet. These all have a purpose, all have a timing. It says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. There's an eternal purpose to it. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God hath required that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. In other words, in everything, there's this minefield all around us that even in the good things, by the way, even in a church that's trying to serve God and all that, you can find wickedness there. You can find iniquity there. I mean, in everything, you have to be very, very careful in everything we do. And in those spots that are evil and wicked and all that, you might even find a spot of good there. Amen. The point is this, is that as we look over everything, there's nothing that we can do or be involved in that we could say we are exempt from understanding God's purpose and timing in. In everything, we must be constantly seeking this from the Lord. He said, I said in my heart, verse 17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. We will not only give an account for what we did or didn't do, we will also give account to the timing of what we did and did not do. And that puts a whole new aspect on the giving account to God for these things. Look at Ecclesiastes 12, if you would. Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse number 9. Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse number 9. It says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Truly, God is a God of order. Verse number 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Now, this word acceptable here, it actually is talking about words acceptable to God's purpose, words acceptable to God's timings, words acceptable to what he has in mind and what he has in store. He says, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd. So these acceptable words, words of God's will, words of God's purpose, words that direct us in these ways, he says they're like nails in our life. They fasten us to these different spots to keep us put so that we don't add our purpose to it and end up swaying to the left hand or to the right. It's things that secure us and keep us headed down that right path and in that right time frame. He says in verse 12, and further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is weariness to the flesh. Amen. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Some might hear that and say, see, God is just a hard God, and he just wants us to just obey, and he just wants us to follow his words and his commandments, and there's no room at all for me just to be who I need to be. Let me remind you that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Following God's commands and God's words for us keeps us where God created us to be. You might look at a kid who's out in public with his parents who has a tendency to run off a little bit, and he happens to have a leash on that kid, amen, to keep him from hurting himself. You might say, that is so cruel. They put one of those parent leashes on that kid. Well, that leash is probably keeping that kid from severe injury, amen. And that kid might not like the restriction, but he needs to just be thankful for it as his parents keeping him safe. Can I say, God loves us and he seeks to put those restrictions on us by his word to keep us straight, to keep us in his will, to keep us from swaying and finding ourselves outside of his will and in harm's way. And so that's what we see in this text. Now, how do we determine God's timing on things? We only have about 12 minutes left, and we'll keep with the quarter after time frame. It coincides with our youth getting out, amen. I know they get out a little bit later, but we get just a few minutes extra moments, amen, to commune. And I want to give you just these thoughts here tonight in these last few minutes that we have together. How do we determine God's timing on things? Number one, by following God's commands. We've already seen this repeatedly in the scriptures that we've covered, that God's words are given to us. God already knows his word. He gave them to us in the Word of God so that we could know His Word, because His Word is health unto us. Saul read into God's command and chose to partially follow the command, which led him to disobey the command. And it was bad for him. If God gives us a command, just stick with it as God intends. You might, by the way, there's a lot of pastors who might say, I don't like what that says, and I don't think that's what it really means. The only reason people usually say that is because they really just don't want to follow it. Right? You don't like what it says, and it can't really mean what it's saying. I got to dig a little deeper and make this thing mean something else. That's altering God's word. That's changing God's word. God's warned us not to do that. Amen. If God commands us something, just stick with it. It'll be good. Amen. Ephesians 5 says this, in verse 1, be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It says, be a follower of God. Proverbs 3 in verses 1 through 7 talks about trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and not leaning unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging him, and he shall direct our paths. And if we'll do it, it'll be health to our navel, marrow to our bones. It'll be good for us, amen, if we don't lean unto our own understanding. The more we can keep our thoughts out of God's commands, the better we are. Now, he may give us understanding, and that's fine. It's his understanding that we get. But we want to keep from imposing our thoughts on things. By the way, how we dress, what we listen to, where we go, who, all these things. I just want God's mind on it. I don't want my thought on it. I want God's thought on it. And if I'll do that, then it'll be good. So how do we determine God's timings on things? Number one, by following God's commands. Number two, by seeking to do the things that bring God pleasure. I've mentioned this before. Have you ever thought about what makes God happy? We usually think about it this way. God, you need to make me happy. Right? You ever wondered what you can do to bring God pleasure? Amen? Well, if you'll do that, you'll be better off in determining God's seasons and timings on things and his will for things. In Revelation 4:11, I believe it's Teresa's life verse, favorite verse, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God didn't create us so that he could bring us pleasure, though he does. The primary reason for our creating is so that we could bring him pleasure. Say, well, that is so selfish. Well, when you're God, you can make it however you want to make it. Amen. But I'm just saying, this is how God says he's made it. And when we understand that, by the way, for those of us that are parents, if your children ever figure out it is really good for them when they make mom and dad happy, mom and dad, what would you do for your kids if all your kids every day of their life did everything they could to make you happy? Would you be more apt to bless them? Would you be more apt to give them whatever they want? Yeah, absolutely. Well, consider our relationship with God in that same light. If we as God's people, God's children, as us being born again, if we seek to bring him pleasure, man, it's a win-win. That's all I can say, amen. And God talks of this in his word. And so we should seek to do the things in our lives that bring him pleasure. Not looking for the line that we could ride on, that line between good or bad or whatever. No, we're not trying to ride the fence. We're seeking, if in every decision you don't seek, what can I get away with here? If you instead said, God, what do you want here? What brings you pleasure in this decision? And if that's how you make decisions, I guarantee you, you're well on your way to the right timings and the just the right operation in your life, so that not only will God be pleased, but your life will be on track. Number three, how do we determine God's timings for our life? Number one, by following his commands. Number two, by seeking to do the things that bring him pleasure. Number three, by praying for God's mind and timing on everything. Praying for God's mind and timing on everything. So where do you get that? Philippians 4. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love what Brother John C. He says, whenever we pray and ask God for something, his answers would be one of three things. No, yes, or not now. Not now is a reference to timing. You know, what you're praying is not wrong. And you just stay faithful in future, that just might come to pass. It might be the right timing at some point, you see. No, yes, or not now. Number four, how can we determine God's timing on things? By walking in the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means we're not going to walk in the lust of our flesh. We're not going to follow the flesh. We're not looking for what pleases the flesh. We're looking for what pleases God. And if we'll just yield to the Spirit's work, remember, the Holy Spirit has been given to lead you and guide you in all truth. Deep down inside, you know when you're following, as a born-again believer, you know if you're following God's wills, His will and way, if you're following His Spirit, or if you're at odds with the Spirit. Because if we quench that Spirit, then we don't have that connection with God like we once did. That fellowship that exists between us. That clear conscience between us and God. It's not there anymore. Amen. And God wants us to get that right. And if we will, we can walk in the Spirit. And then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number five, how do we determine God's timing on everything? We walk in the counsel of godly people. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed. Chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, walking in light of the word of God, not walking with sinners, not sitting in their way, none of that, amen. It goes on to say the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so we want to be in that, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Standing amongst the right people, listening to those, not just that have a testimony of knowing Jesus, but that they have an experience in good decision-making process. Not that they speak a good game and yet their life is a wreck, but that they actually have a good track record of knowing the will of God. Not that they're perfect. None of us are perfect, but just those that have been there and they've come through it pretty well. Amen. Like ladies that are going through things with kids, find some women that are raising God a godly seed and ask them questions. And guys that are trying to be good dads and husbands not, man, find some guys that you respect for what they're doing and start asking them questions. Not that what they give you is everything, but it's just a part. It's a help. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. This is how we find ourselves on the right path. Why? Because there's a lot of deception out there. There's a lot of just things vying for our attention out there. We want to be able to wade through those things. How do we then make good decisions? Number six, we seek to glorify God and be thankful for all things. Thankful. Thanksgiving. By the way, it's God's will that we are thankful. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. That's what happens, by the way. When we stop becoming thankful for the people in our lives, for the situations in our lives, we start imagining things about them, don't we? We become vain in our imaginations, and we start, whether it's true or not, maybe a little bit, but man, our mind goes wild on things. We become vain in our imaginations and our foolish heart is darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's exactly what happens. When a person stops being thankful and living to bring God glory, they start dreaming up all these imaginations as they're unthankful towards people. And before you know it, They're the smartest person on earth, and everybody else just doesn't understand. They don't get it. This is a bad place to be, and you're not going to find yourself on God's path and being able to make decisions based on God's timing on things when you're living that way. Lastly, number seven, just because I like the number seven, amen. Number seven, God, one of God's just beautiful numbers here. If we're going to determine God's timing on things and his will for things, we need to be more interested in God's timing than our own timing. Amen. James 1:4, we studied James recently. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Remember, the answer may be as you pray to God, no, it may be yes, but it might be just not now. And if it's not now, it means we need to be patient and let things play out for God's will and God's timing to come into a place that we can act upon it. In Psalm 27 and verse 13, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said, I had fainted unless I believed that God had some good here that's going to come through this thing. I had fainted. I had no hope unless I had believed. But when I believe that God has a purpose here and a good spot here for this outcome, I can be patient. That's the basis of that patience. Wait on the Lord, it says in Psalm 37. Psalm 20 talks about waiting on the Lord. And I love Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They might say, but you just don't understand what I'm going through and I'm wore out. Well, if you would just trust God and have hope in him and his word and be interested in his timing on things, then God will give you strength to endure these hard times you're going through. He will give you grace so that you can handle these things. But I was just talking to someone recently about something. It was actually about marriage. And I love saying this because it just makes so much sense. And I said, you know, yeah, this person, they're not married yet, but they would rather be married to the right person than the wrong person. You rush into marriage, man, that might be a gift that keeps on giving, a gift that you don't want, amen. You got to have God's timing on things. You got the right person. By the way, a job can be the same way. You rush into a job, that wrong job, that can be so detrimental. You rush into the wrong house purchase, man, that could be detrimental. You rush into any big old debt, and it's not God's purpose and time, be detrimental. And on and on and on and on and on. You get angry when it wasn't time to get angry. Man, that could be so damaging to a relationship. I mean, you can go on and on and on about the timings and purposes of God. But can I say to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And God makes everything perfect in his time. We better get it right. I was thinking about timing, and I'll close on this thought. If you know anything about baseball, I've played some baseball, and I can hit that ball when it's not going too fast, amen. But boy, when it starts getting fast, that thing gets harder and harder to hit. Do you know, swinging a bat, crack, swinging that bat, it's all about timing, isn't it? I mean, you might have the best swing ever. I mean, a swing that could hit that ball out of the park. Man, if you're just a fraction of a second off in your timing, you hit nothing. Or maybe a foul, right? Doesn't work. Or you might be a really good outfielder. Man, if the timing's off between your mitt and that ball, by just a little bit, you're probably going to get replaced in that position. Just because of timing. Can I say timing is everything? I believe timing is one of the most important things for a believer. God's timing, according to his purpose in everything. It's not just a matter of what's good and what's bad. It's a matter of the timing of when to do what's good. We should never do bad, amen. But even in reference to doing right, we must do right according to God's timing, or it just doesn't work well for us, amen. Timing is something that we need to have right in life. And we'll only know the timings of God when we get serious about knowing his will and his purpose, his plan, such that we can be thankful, we can yield ourselves as as an offering to him, a sacrifice that he can use. And when we'll do that and want to glorify him, he'll share his timing with us. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time that we have. Thank you for those that thought it important to come to church tonight. Think about church services and different things. And those that come, Lord, they benefit from your word. Your word doesn't return void. It does accomplish the purpose you sent it forth to do. It's not about the preacher. It's about the word. And the word is powerful. I tried to give out a lot of word of God tonight so that you would be the one that's seen and not me. And God, I pray you'd help us to understand the reality of your purpose and timing and everything. God, we can't afford to get these things wrong in life. It just doesn't work out well. Help us, Lord, to become very interested, not only in your will, but your timing and your mind on these things, so that in the different seasons of life, God, that we can hit these things right for your glory. We love you. We thank you. Bless, Lord, the rest of our evening. Help each one to get home safely. Thank you for each one spending time here tonight. We love you, and we ask for your help now as we go upon our way this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You're dismissed. If you have any questions, please let me know.